Hi, this is Tom Hedden. I'm the composer for the original score to the documentary film 75 Seasons, The History of the National Football League, and you are listening to The Annotator.
Welcome to The Annotator, where composers share their thoughts and stories about their original scores. This is episode 101, where composer Tom Hedden talks about his famous suite from the 75 Seasons, The Story of the NFL documentary. This is Christopher Coleman, and you can find all episodes of this podcast at theannotator.net. Tom Hedden is an experienced composer and music producer. His powerful scores are woven into the fabric of American culture. They are mainstays in stadiums, TV shows, advertising, websites, video games, halls of fame, and feature films. And you've likely heard his music written for the sports world, including the NFL pregame anthem, the NFL league theme Sprint Right, the main theme for American Triumvirate for the Golf Channel, and the Reebok CrossFit anthem. Hedden's music has garnered the recognition of some of the industry's most coveted awards, including 5 Emmy Awards with 11 nominations, a Clio, an Addy, and twice CSAC's Television Composer of the Year. Narrated by John Mahoney, 75 Seasons tells the story of professional football in America from 1920 to 1994. From the earliest days of the league during the Roaring Twenties to the more brutal game that he evolved into after World War II, to the rise of star players such as Homer Jones, Johnny Unitas, Jim Brown, and Joe Namath, all through to the evolution of the game becoming the most popular team sport in the USA at the end of the 20th century. In this episode, composer Tom Hedden revisits his now classic music from the NFL Films documentary, 75 Seasons, and Hedden shares how he came onto this project, even being chosen over more prominent Hollywood composers. He reveals how he wrote for descriptions and not to picture, and how this greatly impacted the final music suite. Hedden also discusses how and why he used the 5-4 rhythm for a particular section, personal reason why he chose to include bagpipes, and which section of the orchestra had the greatest challenge with the piece.
Now that we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the National Football League, this is sort of the state of the NFL 25 years ago, and the state of Tom Hedden 26, 27 years ago when I actually wrote it. It was my first orchestral score. We recorded it at LA East in Salt Lake City, and it was, I believe, 100 musicians or close to it. We filled their chapel studio with the brass, strings, and winds, and we had a huge percussion section in their back room. At the time, I think it was the largest session they'd done there. The film was supposed to be done by several different name composers in Hollywood, but some of the producers at NFL Films had heard some mock-up pieces I'd done with samples and synths, and they convinced Steve Sable, who was the head of NFL Films and an unbelievable human being and creative artist, but these producers, namely Jonathan Hawk, Phil Tuckett, and Dave Douglas, went to Steve and convinced him that I was the guy for the job. And their assignment to me was to create a 10, 12-minute mini symphony to close the film. So this music, the 75 Season Suite, was actually written before the film was cut. I had outlines and I knew what they wanted me to fit in. And I worked on football movies all the time. I was on staff at NFL Films. I wrote this going off descriptions and not going off picture. And it was both good and bad. I think it gives the piece a bit more of a symphonic concert form than it would have if it was scored to picture. And it enabled me to really set up the melodies and drive home the finish of the film. This ran lock, stock, and barrel for the last 10 minutes of the film. It was the closing section of the film. And they cut the pictures to it, which was and basically still is the NFL film style. They prefer to have the music pre-existing and put the images to it. But the film was more than just a highlight package of, you know, your 75 years of highlights. It was really about how the NFL had woven itself into the fabric of American culture and how important it was to the history of the 20th century for the greater culture. And this second movement, featuring more electronic instruments and electronic percussion, was used for describing the reintegration of the National Football League in the late 40s and the 50s. The NFL had started out integrated, but had been segregated in the Depression. And these were incredibly brave and incredibly driven human beings that reintegrated the NFL. Names like Bobby Mitchell and Jim Brown. And they not only reintegrated the NFL, they made it clear that the color of your skin was not a limiting factor in any way, shape, or form. And it's one of the things that the NFL probably can be most proud of, is that since that time, it really has been very diligent at making sure that that stays a center of their culture. This section, I have always felt that a 5/4 scherzo is great for spectacle and outsized chaos of all the things that go on around important events. And it doesn't have maybe the depth that you want for the actual action and the toughness of it. But to set the spectacle aside from this, the more nuts and bolts of a football game, was a setup for what was perhaps a requirement in NFL Films productions of this size is a Follies section. NFL Films is responsible for dozens of filmmaking innovations, slow motion wiring players and coaches, but Follies films showing the human frailty and foibles of these great athletes and how badly things can go awry on a football field has always been incredibly popular and really funny and entertaining. The musicians loved this section. I think we took 5 or 6 takes of it, and all of them were usable. They were just great. The film was reviewed in the New Yorker positively, but the only mention of the music was the score wears itself out with Wagnerian bombast. And I know the author did not mean that as a compliment to me. However, being in the New Yorker and being compared to Wagner, at the time I was pretty happy with both of those things. And in the end, the film did go on to win an Emmy Award for me in the area of music, and it was NFL Film's first Emmy Award in that craft area. So it succeeded in its way, and didn't mind the review. However, it was almost the only recording session I ever did for the NFL, because nearing the end of the first day, we only had about 1 usable minute on tape. There was a certain amount of difficulty with the players, because this music is so high and so loud. I have to tip my hat to the brass players, and there was a real rough moment where the conductor and the brass section were at each other's throats, and I went out and gave a big impassioned speech about how I needed their full commitment, and I went back in, and Steve Sable and Phil Tuckett were sitting in the control room, the boss and the director, and I realized I had just pushed all the chips to the center of the table. But it worked out well. When I was in middle school, I played bagpipes, and my mom was a huge fan of the pipes, and I did it sort of to appease her. But I've always found the pipes to be really evocative and powerful, and they worked really well for an in memoriam kind of section to the film. This is Joey McGonagall as the piper, and he and his whole family are well known to the bagpipe community in the eastern U.S. He was the pipe master in the band I was in, and he's a wonderful bagpipe player. The close of the film was really about the individuals and about the players and about how the game had touched their lives and what it meant to them now as older men looking back on what they'd done. And I think to an individual, the take-home thing, the most important aspect of it was always the camaraderie, the brotherhood, the teamwork. And I think in a larger way, that's what football means in American culture and in some ways. Love it or hate it, football enjoys an outsized place in our culture. And that goes from school, you know, Friday night lights or Saturday afternoon high school football games to entire states flocking to see their university football team play on Saturday afternoons, and families gathering around the television on Sundays to watch the lineup of NFL games or Monday night football. It's always been big. It's always been important, and it's always been part of our culture. And I think in some ways, this part of the suite, largely because of how it was originally presented with these incredibly passionate emotional interviews, for anybody who saw that, this has carried on for them. It's driven a lot of licensing for this music. This music was used at the Hall of Fame for a long time. This music has been part of other sports and other presentations, always in a really profound and important way. And for that, I have to thank my collaborators, the musicians in the Salt Lake area, the orchestrator, conductor, Stephen Scott Smalley, that I worked with, the house engineer at LA East, Glenn Nybar, and the head of audio for NFL Films, Jerry Mahler. This was recorded at a time when digital audio was still pretty much finding its way. And we had so many tracks and so many instruments and overdubbing different things and tying recordings from our studio outside of Philadelphia back with recordings that were done in Salt Lake City. He did a remarkably good job. And I think that the quality of it is what has helped it to last and be something we're still talking about 26 years later. Anyway, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Annotator with composer Tom Hedden and his classic suite from the 75 Seasons, The Story of the NFL documentary. The original score for 75 Seasons was released on September 14, 2004 on the Autumn Thunder 40 Years of NFL Films Music original soundtrack, and it can be purchased on Amazon.com. You can find out more and hear more music by Tom Hedden at his official site, TomHedden.com. The Annotator is produced by me, Christopher Coleman, and you can find more episodes at theannotator.net or wherever you find quality podcasts. Wherever you do listen, we'd love for you to leave us a rating or a review, and if you know someone you think might enjoy The Annotator, please tell them about the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at Audio Annotator or on Facebook or Instagram at The Annotator, or you can take your feedback via email to theannotatorpodcast@gmail.com.